పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. కఠోపనిషత్ చాప్టర్ 1 సెక్షన్ 3 మంత్ర 10. ఇంద్రియేభ్య పరా హ్యార్థ అర్థభ్యశ్చ పరం మనః. మనసస్తు పరా బుద్ధిః బుద్ధేరాత్మా మహాన్ పరః. దిస్ మంత్ర ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్. బుద్ధేహే పరాః, సట్లర్, మోర్ పవర్ఫుల్ దాన్ ద బుద్ధి ఇస్ మహాన్ ఆత్మ. అండ్ వి మెన్షన్ దట్ ఆత్మ హియర్ డస్ నాట్ రెఫర్ టు ది సచ్చిదానంద ఆత్మ. ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఓన్లీ. అండ్ ది అడ్జెక్టివ్ మహాన్ రెఫర్స్ టు ఇట్ ఈస్ ద టోటల్ సమష్టి. సో సమష్టి బుద్ధి, ఆర్ వీ కెన్ కాల్ ఇట్ హిరణ్య గర్భ. సో దిస్ ఈస్ ది ఇంటర్నల్ జర్నీ దట్ ఈస్ బీయింగ్ ట్రావర్స్డ్. నౌ లెట్ అస్ గో టు ది నెక్స్ట్ మంత్ర, మంత్ర నంబర్ 11. మహత పరమవ్యక్తం అవ్యక్తాత్ పురుష పరః. పురుషాన్న పరం కించిత్ సాకాష్టా సా పరాగతి. సో మహత పరం, సుపీరియర్ టు దిస్ మహత్తత్వం, ది టోటల్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఆర్ హిరణ్య గర్భ, ఇస్ అవ్యక్తం. మహత పరం అవ్యక్తం, దట్ స్టేట్ ఇన్ విచ్ ద ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఈస్ రిసాల్వ్డ్ కంప్లీట్లీ. అవ్యక్తం, ఆల్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ రిసాల్వ్డ్, ఆల్ డివిషన్స్ దే హ్యావ్ గాన్ టు పొటెంట్ కండిషన్, పొటెన్షియల్ కండిషన్, నాట్ ఇన్ అ మేనిఫెస్ట్ కండిషన్, ఇన్ ఎ పొటెన్షియల్ కండిషన్. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్ స్టేజ్? దాట్ స్టేజ్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ కారణ అవస్థ. సో వి ఆల్రెడీ నో స్థూల అవస్థ, ద గ్రాస్ బాడీ, సూక్ష్మ అవస్థ, అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ ద కారణ అవస్థ, ద సీడ్ కండిషన్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్. సో టోటల్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ ఫాల్స్ విదిన్ ద క్రియేషన్. సో డ్యూరింగ్ ద ప్రళయ ఆర్ డిసల్యూషన్, ఈవెన్ ది టోటల్ ఇంటలెక్ట్ విల్ రిసాల్వ్ ఇన్ టు ది అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ కండిషన్ ఓన్లీ, ది పోటెంట్ కండిషన్ ఆర్ ద సీడ్ కండిషన్, వేర్ ఆల్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ they go to the seed condition. So one can perhaps imagine that is like a pralaya avastha where the world, the entire srishti is in seed form, that is called karana prapancha, the karana shariram or karana prapancha. Karana shariram is at the individual level, karana prapancha is at the total level. So intellect belongs to what prapancha? Sukshma prapancha, sthula karana prapancha. Intellect belongs to the sukshma prapancha. And avyaktam, that belongs to karana prapancha. This is form. So karana prapancha is subtler than even sukshma prapancha. That's what we have seen in Tattva Bodha. So if we want to know what will be the condition, if the whole world goes to the seed state, that is the potential state, how will it be? So what is the answer now? They say, you experience it daily. We don't have to go for any other example. A state in which our mind is resolved, all our emotions, our intellect, and all different forms of knowledge, they all are resolved. And when do we experience that? In our deep sleep state every day. In that stage, our knowledge and emotions are not absent. They are there, but they are in a seed form or in a potential form. This is the subtlest form of the creation. And when it is in the subtlest form, one cannot differentiate one knowledge from the other knowledge, because they are all in the subtlest form. Just as in a seed, you cannot differentiate which is the branch, which is the flower, which is the leaf, which is the trunk. We cannot differentiate. But everything is there in the seed. So genetic map is already going on inside the seed. But what do we mean by genetic mapping? Even in the gene stage, your entire personality is stored. It's already there. At the right time and age, they will appear. They manifest. So we are not able to see with a gross eye. Sukshma instrument only can see. Because it is so subtle, we need a subtle instrument to see them. That is called avyakta avastha or nirvikalpa avastha. in Vedanta, it's called Nirvikalpa Avastha. So when I sleep, my emotions are in Nirvikalpa Avastha, and during Pralaya, the whole creation is in Nirvikalpa Avastha, and that is the subtlest form of matter. So deep sleep state is the subtlest form of matter. And why do we say so again? Because we are not able to differentiate. So mahataha param avyaktam, undifferentiated, nirvikalpa avastha. And how is our personality during our sleep? If we ask, it is very difficult to understand. Do we exist during sleep or not? We happily go to sleep because we are very sure that we exist in sleep. Otherwise, we won't get up. So what is your personality? Sukshma tama, the subtlest personality, the superlative degree, sukshma tama. And then, is this Atma? No, it is not Atma. And then what is Atma? Avyaktat purushaha paraha. The blank state of the sleep, the subtlest form of matter, we cannot call it void because it is a state of nothingness. Why? Because next day, from the so-called void, from that so-called void, everything is emerging. So it is not void in that sense, but it is in unmanifest. And so what you experience as blankness is not shunyam. As the Buddhists say, it is not shunyam. That is why the scientists also say that space is not emptiness. Scientists also agree with that space is not emptiness. It is a substance from which things arise. It is not void. So the blank is the subtlest form of anatma. Anatma is matter. Blank is the subtlest form of anatma. So it is called karana sharira, the causal body, or karana prapancha, the causal universe. It is anandamaya kosha. We saw annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha. This is anandamaya kosha, the karana prapancha. Because in sleep, you are fully happy. In fact, you don't want to get up at all, to be honest. Go to sleep early and wake up late. That's what people want to do. And if possible, during daytime also, we don't mind catching up some sleep here and there. Sometimes, perhaps, you know, Swamiji used to joke, in the class also, people try to borrow some time to just nap off. So it is called by various names, Anandamaya Kosha, Avyaktam, Jagat Bijam, Karana Shariram, Maya, Prakriti, all of them refer to that. All these are synonyms of the subtlest form of matter. And superior to that blankness is what? Is Purushaha. And what is that? Purushaha is the conscious principle which is witnessing that blank state. When I wake up, I say I had a good sleep. How do I know? That consciousness is the witness that reveals it to me. That there is a blank state in sleep. Whether you know it or not, you know. Because after waking up, I clearly say that I slept like a log of wood. I did not experience anything. That's what we say. Which means I experienced the absence of all experiences. That's what it means. I experienced the absence of all experiences. So we have to think carefully here. That means the blankness is matter. The witness of blankness is not the matter, but it is consciousness. The blankness comes during sushupti, deep sleep state. But the blankness goes during the jagradavastha, in the wakeful state. That is, I, the witness, the consciousness, am permanently there in all the three avastas, all the three states of consciousness. When the matter goes to blankness, I am there. And when the things emerge, I am there. So, presence of thoughts, I am the witness. During resolution of thoughts, I am witness again. I have to turn my attention to the consciousness which is inherent in the blankness, in the emptiness also. As what? As the very witness of the blankness. It is like what? If you want to give an example. Now, for example, if you take the room is now full. For example, all the people, you know, they go at the end of the class, they all will leave. And I say, the room is empty. When everybody comes into the class, we say the room is full, and when the class is over, the room is empty. Then I ask the question, how do you know that the room is empty? Then you have to say that the very light which illumined the presence of people in the hall, the very same light is inherent in the hall. illumining the emptiness in the hall also. So what you call as empty hall is really not an empty hall, but a hall pervaded by the light which illumines the emptiness. If the light is absent, you cannot talk about the emptiness. So you can withdraw your attention from the body, the sense organs, the emotions, the knowledge, and all of them are withdrawn. You come to a state of total blankness. And then what should you aim at then? Instead of turning your attention to the blankness, you turn your attention to own up the consciousness which is aware of the blankness. The consciousness which is aware of the blankness. So I am the consciousness which is the witness of the silent mind, the thoughtless mind, the blank mind. And again thought comes, the consciousness is there or not? If people enter to the hall, for example, light is. When they go away also, light is. Similarly, thoughts arrive, consciousness is. Thoughts depart, consciousness is. And we don't require proof to see whether consciousness is there or not. Why? Because if consciousness is absent, you will not be aware of the blankness of the mind. So turn your attention not to the blankness, but to the consciousness. How do you do that? By owning up the consciousness as I am. I am that consciousness. So turning is what? Turning means owning up. It's claiming. I am Chaitanya Swarupaha Asti. That is what he says, Avyaktat Purushaha Paraha. Superior to that Avyakta, the Karana Prapancha is the Purushaha. Avyakta is the Karana Prapancha. Superior to that is the Purushaha. Purushaha means what? Chaitanyam. And Purushaha is not, we should understand, it's not a male. So why consciousness is called a Purushaha then? The word Purushaha has got two derivations. Both of them are important. Because when we say consciousness is Purushaha, we should not think it is a male. Male only is Purusha. No. Puru means body. And Shaha means the indweller, the resident. The resident of the body, Purushaha. So Purushaha means the resident or the tenant of the body. So just as the light is the resident in the hall, the consciousness is residing. So pure seti iti Purushaha. Pure seti iti Purushaha means body indweller. That is the first derivation. And the second derivation is pura yati sarvam iti Purushaha. That which pervades everything, that is called Purushaha. Just as the light that pervades the entire hall, consciousness pervades the entire universe, illumining all matter. And so it is called Purushaha, the all-pervading consciousness, indweller and all-pervading consciousness. It is within and it is without. Actually, in Tamil, we call the Lord as Kadavul. That is a term called Kadavul. Kada means the one who is beyond, Kadandu Irupavar. And Ul means the one who is Ulle Irupavar, the one who is within. So the one who is within and the one who is without is called Kadavul. Antar Bahishchatat Sarvam Vyapyanara Yanastitaha. So if you want a corresponding Sanskrit word for Kadavul, it is Purushaha. Both within and without. And Purushana Param Kinchite. After arriving at the consciousness, after traveling inside from Annamaya, going through all the various various Pranamaya, Manomaya and all those stages, when one comes to the consciousness, there is no more further journey at all. We should not ask then what next. That is the ultimate. So from Annamaya, what next we can ask? Pranamaya. From Pranamaya, what next? We can say Manomaya. Manomaya, what next? Vijnanamaya. Then Anandamaya. And after Anandamaya, it is Atma. What next we should not ask. So he said, Purushat Param Kinchit Nasti. There is nothing subtler than the Atma, the Purusha. Nothing more interior than Atma. Nothing more pervasive than Atma. So the inter journey should culminate where? The inter journey should culminate at the Chaitanyam level. Therefore, Sa Kashta. That is the culmination. That is the end of the journey. Kashta means literally the pinnacle, the apex. the highest limit of what? The inward journey. Because we started with the inward journey, so the highest limit, the apex of the inward journey is kashta, and sa paragatihi, that is considered to be the ultimate destination, gatihi, or goal. All others are intermediary stations only. Because in Taittiriya Upanishad, the very same Panchakosha Viveka is very, very elaborately analyzed in the second chapter, Brahmanandavalli. There the Upanishad has, we already saw that, Taittiriya Upanishad. There the Upanishad asks us to remain in each personality for some time, Annamaya personality for some time, Pranamaya personality for some time. So having come to Pranamaya personality, you meditate upon only one fact. What is that? I am not the body. When you have come to the Pranamaya plane, you now to think that you are not the body. So take enough time to remove the Deha Abhimana. It may take 10 years, 15 years, we don't know. So I should clearly see I am not the body. It is just a bubble in the ocean of matter, which can pop off any time. This body can pop off in any. So let me not get attached to this body. And when we say body, it is not only my body, but anybody, anybody. It is for anybody. So it may take ages perhaps for the Deha Abhimana to go away. The association with the body, body consciousness to go away. It may take long time perhaps. The Pranamayaha, that then emotional, then the love. When I am missing love from a particular person, how shattered I become. It is emotional Abhimana. So from the body Abhimana, now I have gone to emotional Abhimana. Emotional personality is so strong. So nobody cares for me, that attitude. So I am generally upset. Once in a way, I get happy. I have to get over the emotional needs, emotional weaknesses. Then I come to the intellectual need, Vijnanamaya Kosha. Like the scientists, they don't bother about the emotional needs at all. They want to solve various questions in creation. The intellectual Abhimana. And if they don't solve, they are also shattered. So each Abhimana should go away. You take any number of years to do that, it should go away. So each stage is only an intermediary station arriving at the Atma as the final destination. But what is the problem? Gudaha. It is hidden amidst the Anatma. It is intertwined with Anatma. It is inseparable with Anatma. So that's what we have to put that thing. So actually I have not read that shloka, I guess. Let me read the shloka, shloka 113. I forgot where I kept it. I'm sorry, I forgot the last page of that Mahataha Paramatma. Yesha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Gudotmana Prakashate Drishyate Tvagriya Buddhya Sukshmaya Sukshma Darshibihi. There's a spelling mistake here. Okay. So, problem is what? Gudaha. Gudaha is the hidden. The one that is hidden, it is hidden amidst the Anatma. The Atma, it is hidden. It is intertwined with Anatma. It is inseparable. It is intermixed with Anatma or Panchakosas. And therefore, I miss it. Because it is intertwined, I miss it. So, Gudaha. Gudaha literally means covered. So, we should not take the literal meaning here. Because the all-pervading consciousness cannot be covered. It cannot be covered by anything. Because for something to be covered, the cover should be bigger than the one that is covered. So Atma can never be covered. So here covered means what? As though it is covered by Anatma. And how does it cover it? By turning our attention towards Anatma. When we say it is covered, it means that we turn our attention towards Anatma. Not allowing the mind to turn towards the Atma, the Panchakoshas, take our attention all the time. Annamaya Kosha mostly take our attention all the time. So either we are bothered about our body, we are bothered about hunger, thirst, Pranamaya Kosha takes the attention. So if you look at the mind, instead of turning our attention towards the consciousness, in the mind. I am worried about what? The various thoughts in the mind, the various vrittis. It is like what? When I ask you what is here, you will say everything else except the most important thing. Hands, lines, das, all those things are here, we can say. But you will miss the one important thing because of which anything else, everything else are visible. And what is that? The light. The light by which everything is visible, we will not mention that. We will see everything else is there, we will say. Why do you miss over the hand? Because the light is subtle. It is formless. Other grosser, they are grosser things. They are so gross, they can distract our attention. Similarly, our grosser annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, they will distract our attention. Emotional problems, physical problems, family problems, they take our attention all the time. That we don't have time for turning our attention to our real nature. Balastavad krida saktaha, tarunastavad taruni saktaha, vriddhastavad chinta saktaha, parame brahmani kopi na saktaha. No time. We'll see after the retirement. That's what we all postpone and keep on postponing it. And Yamadharma Raja ultimately says enough and takes us away. And so it is gudaha. It is concealed because of our extroverted nature. And therefore, na prakashate. The Atma is not evident for the person of extrovert nature. And therefore, what is required? One need not bring Atma to reveal light to you. I need not invite light to our hand because it is already there. In fact, even when you are talking about the hand, you are looking at the light also. When you look at the hand, you are looking at the light also. And so, hand is also evident. Light is also evident. Both are evident. What is required is what? Is turning one's attention from the hand aspect to the already evident light aspect. And I see my hand in the light. That's what I should do. And once you turn your attention, I can talk about light and say, light is not limited. It is all pervading. It is not polluted by hand. It is indivisible. It is formless. So I can talk about light not as a new entity, but which we are all the time perceiving. Similarly, I am not introducing a new consciousness here. It is already there. I am only asking you to turn your attention to the already evident consciousness. And once the attention is turned, then I can say that consciousness is limitless. It is indivisible. And ultimately, that consciousness is your real nature. But Yamadharma Raja says, to turn your attention to consciousness, you require a very subtle mind. To turn the attention to consciousness, one requires a very subtle mind. A gross mind can turn its attention to thoughts and even blankness also. Even to blankness, it can turn the attention. But a subtle mind alone can turn the attention to the ever-evident consciousness. And how do you turn your attention? That will be the next question. In the form of owning up. As we mentioned earlier, in the form of owning up. I am not the thought, but I am the awareness. Because of which the thought itself is made aware of. I am not the body. I am the awareness. Because of which the body is sentient. I am not even the blankness obtaining in meditation. But I am the awareness which pervades and illumines the blankness. This owning up that I am the awareness, that requires an extremely sensitive, subtlest mind. So he says, na prakashate. This awareness is not evident for a sthula buddhi, for a gross mind. This awareness is not available, whereas drishyate, the very same awareness is owned up as aham chaitanyam asmi. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham Name Dvesha Ragav. I don't have Ragadveshas because they are all thoughts. They all belong to the mind. Name Loba Mohav Madonaiva Menaiva Matsarya Bhavaha. They all belong to the mind, Shankaracharya says. Then who am I? I am neither the mind nor those thoughts. But I am the unpolluted awareness, spreading over those thoughts and making those thoughts also known. Exactly like what? The light spreading over the hand, unpolluteddly and making the hand known. So drishyate, it is worn down. By what? Agreya buddhiya. With the help of the very sharp intellect, which has to make a fine distinction between the thought and the consciousness in the thought. So the mind should be sharp enough, buddhi should be sharp enough to make this distinction between the thought and the consciousness in the thought. Like separating the light and the hand. The separation cannot be done physically. When I put my hand in the light, there is hand. I cannot separate physically the light and the hand. I cannot scrap off the light. One has to use one's intellect only to separate them. Similarly, thought and consciousness have to be separated in terms of understanding only. I should see the thought rising and setting, whereas the consciousness does not rise and set. When thought is, consciousness illumines the thought. When thought is resolved, still consciousness is illumining what? The thoughtless state. So thought is object, consciousness is subject. Thought is illumined, consciousness is the illuminator. To see them separately, one requires a very fine intellect. And so Yamadharmaraja says, agriyaya buddhiya. Like laser surgery, it is required to correct the vision. And you make the smallest mistake, the eyes will be gone. Similarly, thought and consciousness, discrimination requires a very sharp mind, sharp intellect. And sukshmaya, not only you should be sharp, you should be subtle too. Why should be subtle? When you want to separate two objects, it is relatively easy, no problem. One can use the intellect and you can see, like light is different from hand and hand is different, we can see. One can understand because both are objects. But when I ask you to differentiate between thought and consciousness, what mistake we will generally commit? They want to know pure consciousness separated from thought. So what do? They sit in meditation. They remove all thoughts. And according to their calculation, previously they had thoughts and consciousness together. Now I have removed all thoughts. And then what should be left over? Consciousness. That is what they think. And so after removing all thoughts, they look for consciousness, pure consciousness. What type of pure consciousness? Thoughtless consciousness. That's because thoughts are removed. So they are looking for thoughtless consciousness. But they don't find anything. They don't find any thoughtless consciousness. So what should they do? They attend all kinds of classes, Vedanta classes, this, that and all, to find the thoughtless consciousness. So what is required is, if you remove thought, you don't look for consciousness. You say that left out consciousness is myself. That left out consciousness is nothing but myself. Don't look for it. You say the looker is the left out consciousness. Therefore, the objectification tendency, that should be dropped. Looking for a mystic experience is a tendency. That tendency should be dropped. No mystic experience. In fact, all sorts of expectations, they all should drop. And what is required? When the thoughts are gone, what is left out is not something to be seen, but I, the seer. And later, when the thoughts come, I am aware of the thoughts. So when the thoughts are not there, I am left behind. And a mind which can drop the tendency of objectification is called the subtle mind. It has left the tendency of objectification. And so Yamadharmaraja says, sukshmaya, with the help of a sukshma buddhi, a very subtle buddhi, which is free from objectification tendency or orientation and which is very sharp. With the help of such a mind, sukshma darshibihi, by those seekers, sukshmas, they are called sukshma darshis, those who are the seers of the subtle atma, by those seers, atma is known as aham eva atma. I am that Atma. Mantra 13. Yachet vang manasi prajnaha tadyachet jnana atmani jnanam atmani mahatini yachet tadyachet chanta atmani. In the previous mantra, mantra 12, Yamadharmaraja says that one requires a sukshma buddhi, very sharp buddhi. A sharp and subtle intellect is required. That's what he said then. And that verse, it is very important because the Upanishad very clearly says that mind is required for Atmajnanam. For Atmajnanam, mind is required. Because many people think that mind cannot know Atma. Lot of people think mind cannot know Atma, and so you have to drop the mind for self-realization. Lot of people think that way. That is another misconception in the spiritual field. Because mind is a limited instrument using which one cannot know the unlimited, namely the Chaitanyam, the consciousness. So you have to transcend the mind. And that is what they define as Samadhi. In Samadhi, you have transcended the mind also, and then alone self-realization is possible. But the Upanishad very clearly says that you cannot transcend the mind. You cannot drop the mind. You have to use the mind alone to know the Atma. Upanishad very clearly says. So where it is said, Drishyate tu agriyaya buddhaya. Through buddhi alone, you have to know. In the previous shloka, the mantra we just read. So Shankaracharya then raises the question elsewhere. What is that? In the scriptures themselves, elsewhere it is said, mind cannot know the Atma. Here we say that through mind alone, we have to know the Atma. Then is it not a contradiction? It won't, actually, otherwise there will be a problem. For example, forget, if you, because this we have already seen in other places in the Taittiriya Upanishad, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. We have seen that there. So, in the Kena Upanishad also it says, yen manasa na manute, the one. So, natatra chakshuhu gachati, na vag gachati, na manaha. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. So, all these Upanishads, they all say, mind cannot know the Atma. Then how do you resolve this contradiction? Here he says very clearly that you need the mind to know the Atma. Several answers are given. We will see, for example, some simpler answers. Of course, given by Shankaracharya only. When the scriptures say that mind cannot know, it means unprepared mind cannot know. That is what it means. When mind cannot know, it is the unprepared mind cannot know. A gross and a blunt mind cannot know. When the Upanishad says mind alone has to know, what should we understand then? Agriya sukshmaya buddhaya, the one, the previous shloka. There is no contradiction here. Mind cannot know because an unprepared, blunt mind cannot know. Mind can know means a prepared mind alone has to know. So, manasaivam anudrashtavyam. So, yeshur nuratma chetasam veditavyaha. That's what the mantra says. With mind alone, one has to know. Chetasa veditavyaha. Prepared mind. The mind should be prepared. What is the next question? How do you get a prepared mind? How do you get such a sukshma buddhi? How to get that? For that, several sadhanas are said. And here, the teacher is emphasizing meditation as a method of preparing one's mind. And we should be careful. Not meditation as a way of knowing the Atma. Understand? This is meditation as a way to prepare the mind only. Not as a way of knowing Atma. It can never be used to know Atma. Atma has to be known only through Guru Shastra Upadesha. But for the Guru Shastra Upadesha to work, one has to acquire a prepared mind. Meditation helps in preparing the mind. And this meditation also is of two types, again, which we have seen actually in the for those who are attending Gita in the sixth chapter. One is what? You prepare the mind before Shravanam itself. And that meditation is called Upasana then. Before coming to Vedanta in the form of Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam. So, Manasa Japa, Puja, Parayanam, all these Upasanas, they will make the mind sensitive, subtle, sharp, expanded, purified. It will do all that to the mind. In fact, we have seen varieties of Upasanas. Actually, the Sikshavali lectures I have not given here. I am going to put them up later. And also in Bhrigavalli. First and the third chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad. So, this is the normal method. Upasana to prepare the mind. That's a method. And one does Shravanam. And you understand that it's no more is required actually. But suppose one comes to Shravanam. Person comes to Shravanam through the back door. That is without, you know, going through Upasana stage. He comes to Shravanam straight away. That means there is no preparation for him. then what to do? Veda says, if you have not practiced Upasana before Vedantic study, you will have to practice meditation after Vedantic study. You have come to know Aham Brahmasmi, but you have to meditate later. Either before or after, you cannot skip that step. If you have done before, you don't require afterwards. Shravanam is the end of that sadhana. If not done before, he has to do it later, where which meditation is called Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasana Dhyanam. So before Vedanta Shravanam is called meditation. If it is done after that, it is called Nididhyasana Dhyanam. So one has to practice either Upasana Dhyanam before Nididhyasana Dhyanam afterwards. And if one has not practiced Upasana Dhyanam before, what will happen to him? Your Vedantic study will remain undigested in the corner. It won't go anywhere. You will get the knowledge, but it will be undigested. Like a cow's food, you know, cow has, in the stomach it has four compartments. It puts it in the first compartment, then slowly takes to the next. So one will be a scholar, all right. He would have known all this information, but he will be still a scholarly samsari only. Previously, one was an unscholarly samsari. He went to the Shravana without a prepared mind. Then now he became a scholarly samsari. So making you feel actually more miserable. Once he is a scholarly samsari, he will feel even more miserable. He will think, in spite of the study, still I am like this. What will Nididhyasanam do? Exactly like the cow chewing the food, the Nididhyasanam will go to the knowledge which is sitting in one corner of him. It will act upon that knowledge and it will make the knowledge assimilated and spread over the entire system. So, do I require Nididhyasanam or not? That depends on whether I have come to Vedanta after preparation or without preparation of the mind. And generally, especially in Kali Yuga, people come without preparation only. All those people who come to Vedanta, they all come without preparation only. So, Nididhyasanam becomes compulsory for most of them. Therefore, in this shloka, Nididhyasana Dhyanam, that is what is hinted. So, in fact, the 6th chapter of Gita is based on such shlokas from Kathopanishad only. In Kathopanishad, in 2-3 places, Nididhyasanam is hinted at. And what is that? He says, Yachetu Vang Manasi Prajnyaha. One who has done Shravana. And so, knowledge is there for him. He has already listened to Vedantam. So, he has knowledge, he has heard already, but it is not digested. It is not assimilated. It remains a scholarship only. He has learned. It's only still a scholarship. It has not blessed that person yet. Such a person may be a jnani, but is not a jnana nishtaha, who is not established in that jnanam. Jnani will not get full benefit. Only a jnana nishtha will get the full benefit. And that prajnaha, the one who has gone through the shravanam and mananam, walk manasi echete. He should sit silently in a place, which indicates what? He should withdraw from all the functions of Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas. He should withdraw all their functions. And vak is one of the Karmendriyas, one of the organs of action, vak, speech, organ of speech, which represents all the 10 Indriyas here. It is taken as an example. So all the 10 Indriyas, he should withdraw. 5 Karmendriyas and 5 Jnanendriyas, he should withdraw. And where should he bring them? Manasi, into the mind, into the Manomaya Kosha. So he should withdraw all the 10 indriyas and bring them into the Manomaya Kosha. So the Pranamaya Kosha activity should be withdrawn into the Manomaya Kosha. Yachet means one should withdraw. Learn to sit silently for some time. Then what should one do? Tat jnana atmani yachet. Tat means the mind. One should withdraw to jnana atmani. Jnana atmani refers to the Vijnanamaya Kosha. Which means from idam vritti to aham vritti. Idam vritti, thoughts centered on idam, this, that and all, to aham vritti, to myself. So from the thoughts centered onto the objective world, that is idam vritti, he should come to the thought centered on oneself, aham. So earlier the thoughts were all centered on the external world, all the vishayas. So, idam vritti is manomaya kosha, aham vritti is vijnanamaya kosha. So, jnana atmani. தென் ஞானம் மகதி ஆத்மனி நியச்சேத். தட் ஞானம், தட் விஜானமய கோஷா, ஒன் ஷுட் ரிசால்வ் ஆர் விட்ரா இன் டு மகதி ஆத்மனி. They should withdraw, dissolve into Mahati Atmani, Samashti intellect. Mahati Atmani refers to the total intellect, the Hiranyagarbha, the total. What does it mean? It means the recognition of the fact that there is no individual intellect separate from the total intellect. There is no separation at all. It is like looking at New Jersey as one of the states. You look at the same land and say, I stay in New Jersey. And then I say, you look at the very same place and say, I am in United States. Both are okay. So in that, what change has taken place from that? When I say I stay in New Jersey and also when I say I stay in USA, the eyes are seeing the same place only. But instead of looking at this as New Jersey, we see it as USA. In which vision we know that there is no New Jersey separate from United States. Then I tell you to look at the same place as the American continent. It is only an attitudinal change. Similarly, instead of looking at your intellect as an individual intellect, one learns to look at the total buddhi, samashti intellect, with total knowledge, total power. So, mahati atmani niyachet. Then, tad yachet shanta atmani. From that intellect, which is full of thoughts, you turn your attention to the Shanta Atma. Which means what? The consciousness, which is the witness of the intellect and the thoughts. Shanta Atmani. So like turning the attention to the light, from the hand to the light. Hand and light are together. But we learn to turn the attention from the hand to the light. Instead of seeing the thought, you think of consciousness, not objectifying that. That is why we use the word one-up. One up consciousness, because of which all thoughts are illumined. All my thoughts are illumined because of what? Because of consciousness only. Not only in my mind, but also the thoughts are illumined in all the minds of all people. That means the consciousness, which is the same behind all the intellects. So we gradually fall back unto ourselves as the observer, I. So, this turning the attention from the observed object, observed, to the observer, this practice is called Nididhyasana. So, you turn the attention from the observed to the observer. Therefore, Tat Shanta Atmani Echet. May you resolve Echet. And having come to the consciousness, I dwell upon that by claiming that I am not limited by the dimensions of my body. And when I say it, it refers to what part? It refers to the consciousness part only. And then you say, I am not polluted by the impurities of the body. So, limitless I am, uncontaminated I am, indivisible I am. That owning up, that is my higher nature, my paraprakriti nature. If you remember paraprakriti and aparaprakriti, this is. And also disowning the lower part. And what is disowning? This body is an incidental thing which will be here for some time. And whether I like it or not, it will disintegrate. Annamaya, Pranamaya, they all will disintegrate. But I, the Chaitanya Amsha, will not disintegrate at all. Only change that will happen is what? As long as the body is available, I will be available to say I am conscious. When the body is not there, I cannot say I am consciousness, but whether I say it or not, I am consciousness all the time. When the body is there, I say. When the body is not there, I don't say it through this body, but I can say it through other bodies. This practice is called Nididhyasana. I may not be able to say it through my own body, but I can say it through all other bodies. So, you spend time on Nididhyasana until you find this knowledge that transforms one's personality. How long it will take? It depends. For example, 10 children learn music. One child starts giving concerts within the next year perhaps. Sometimes the child may even overtake the guru. And another child, even after 15 years, still in Sapasa only they are. They have not gone anywhere. So there is no uniform rule for this. After 7 years, one will be liberated. After 10 years, one will be liberated. There is no such rule. It all depends on what all the obstacles that are there for a person to overcome. And it is none of your concern to think how long it will take. No. Enjoy owning up this teaching. Enjoy the journey itself without thinking of the destination or time or duration. Enjoy the very assimilation process itself. This is a Nididhyasana Sloka. This sloka is called a Nididhyasana Sloka. Mantra 14. Uttishtata jagrata prapya varani bodhata kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgam patastat kavayo vadanti. Another very beautiful mantra, very important mantra, a comprehensive mantra, which talks about an entire range of spiritual sadhanas. This mantra is very practical, very parallel to the Mundaka Upanishad mantra. So, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan Brahmano Nirveda Mayat. So, that is the mantra there. So, it talks about the entire range of sadhanas. So, what is the first stage of sadhana? First stage of sadhana is knowing our problem. Before dealing with any particular sadhana, a person should know what exactly one needs. First stage is diagnosis of the disease and not the treatment itself. A headache can be because of a million reasons. Due to toothache, glasses, lack of sleep, fatigue, pollution, spouse. They've got all kinds of headaches. So, diagnosis is the first stage. And here, the only way is Karma Yoga. So, Karma Yoga way of life will help in knowing what exactly we need. It will purify the mind. It will sensitize the mind. And it will make us think whether the problem is with the world or with myself. And immature mind will find always fault with everything else in creation except oneself. I am very intelligent in blaming all others, including God, planets, the lines on the hand, the numerological figures, all that I'll blame in one's name. So we can blame everything except ourselves. Karma Yoga will make the problem very clear that the problem is that I have not strengthened myself. Self-ignorance is the problem. So we have to arrive at the problem as ajnanam. Ajnanena avritam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantavaha. Krishna tells actually in the 5th chapter, all the living beings, they all suffer because of only one problem, and that problem is ajnanam, ignorance. Because of the ignorance of what? Not physics or chemistry ignorance. Ignorance of oneself. All people are deluded. This discovery itself is a great discovery, and that is indicated here as Uttishtata. Wake up. Wake up to your problem. Recognize. Diagnose as what? Self-ignorance. Uttishtata. And how long will it take? It depends again. For some people it may take years, decades, centuries, janmas. So, aneka janma samsiddha, Krishna said. And this is called Uttishtata. Recognize your self-ignorance. Then what? That is wake up. And what is the next stage? Jagrata. Once you have understood that your problem is ignorance of yourself, then what should you do? What is the next stage? Wake up to your free nature. Pure, secure, wonderful nature. Wake up to that. Just as a dreamer who is suffering in the dream has to wake up to his wakeful stage. What is the wakeful nature? Comfortably lying in the air-conditioned room on a comfortable bed with everything around. That is his nature. That is the nature. But in the dream, he was suffering because of various problems. The dreamer gets over the problems only by waking up to the comfortable nature. Therefore, Jagrata. Jagrata is Jnana Yoga Sadhana, which is the means to wake up to your nature. So what is the first stage? Now, if you can see the difference, first stage is wake up to your problem, know your problem through Karma Yoga, and the second stage is know your nature through Jnana Yoga. And knowing the nature alone is solving the problem. How to solve the problem? Some problem of ignorance by knowing the nature. So, in one line, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, both stages of sadhana are pointed out. Now, the question is what? How can I wake up to my nature? How will I know my nature? That is this question. Suppose I go on following Karma Yoga for all the time. Karma Yoga only I am following all the time. Will I get the knowledge one day? Suddenly, will it just occur to me? Will the knowledge be dawned on someday? Will I develop intuitive power to recognize the self? How does knowledge come? Will it happen like a hair growing? Like, you know, will it also gradually grow knowledge? Yamadharmaraja says, knowledge never happens. Knowledge never happens. Aging, hunger, death, they all happen. Everything else will happen in time. Knowledge will never happen. You have to make it happen. And what should I do to make it happen? Prapya varan nibodhata. Varaha. Varaha means here guru. Not the popular varan. Varan means, you know, the bridegroom. This is not a bridegroom. It's not that varan, but it is guru. So literally varaha means shreshta purushaha. And that means what? Yajnani purushaha. Yajnani or shrotriya brahmanishtaha. We are familiar with all these terms. So in Mundaka Upanishad it is said, tat vijnanartham sa gurumeva abhigachet. It is said. Instead of guru, it is said here, varan prapya. And that too prapya, you should go to your guru. Don't call him to your place. It is disrespect. I will send my car, please come. Long time ago, I had a student. He said, I will not be able to come to the classes where all people are sitting. Will you be able to come to my house and teach it one to one? People ask all these questions. So you have to, you know, reverentially go to your guru. That is why in our Puranas, even the greatest emperor has to go to the Acharya. Therefore, vidivat upasannaha, varan prapya. And nibodhata, that is not enough. If you go to the guru, you have to ask for this knowledge. Adihi bhagavo brahmeti. So, adihi bhagavo brahma vidyam varishtam. Please instruct me about this knowledge. Sishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. We have to ask for the knowledge. That's what Arjuna did. Then what will the guru do? Upate kshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. If he is a traditional acharya, he knows how to give the knowledge. And the only way of giving knowledge is what? Is the systematic, consistent teaching for a length of time. It cannot just happen one day. Just as the moment Arjuna surrendered, what did Krishna do? He did not touch his head or back. He is not doing any such things at all. When the Sishya wants Siddhis, you can touch and give some Siddhis to him. But when the Sishya wants mystic experience, they can be transferred by touching perhaps. Only one thing that cannot be transferred by touching, and what is that? Knowledge. It cannot be touched and imparted. If knowledge can be transferred by touching, then all the schools and colleges, we don't require any of them. The physics professor should go on touching, PhD degree, a separate touch, MS degree, another touch. How nice. Remember, knowledge cannot be transferred by any shortcut. What is the proof? If there is a shortcut, Krishna would have known that, right? All the Upanishadic Acharyas would have known that. Why? Yama himself would have known that, Nachiketas, and he would have given that knowledge to Nachiketas by just touching. And Yamadharmaraja, the busiest person in the world, he would have used a shortcut. He would prefer to use the shortcut perhaps. But the very fact that he teaches systematically, that indicates that Sampradaya Guru knows that knowledge is given through systematic, consistent teaching only. For how long? Until the student understands Aham Brahma Asmi. So therefore, Nibodhata. So, Shravana Mananabhyam Nibodhata. May you know through Shravanam and Mananam. And he says, this pursuit of Jnana Yoga is extremely difficult. Pataha Durgam Kavayaha Vadanti. The fourth line. Pataha. Pataha means Jnana Margaha, the self-knowledge. It is Durgam. Durgam means very difficult to pass through, to tread. Dukkena Gantum Sakyam Durgam. Gam means to walk. Dur means very difficult. So Durgam means very difficult to tread, to walk. What is that? That is the Jnana Marga. So Iti Kavayaha Vadanti. The wise people, Kavayaha, they declare, Vadanti, Vedantic Acharyas, they declare. And how difficult it is. An example is given. Shurasya Nishita Dhara Iva. Shuraha. Shuraha means a razor blade. A barber is called Shurakaha. And that is why shaving is called Kshauram. It's become Shavaram. Or what is that? Shavaram. So, and that too, what type of razor it is? Nishita Dhara. a razor whose edge is sharpened, very sharpened. Imagine, if you have to walk over such a razor, not cross, you have to walk over, but along the razor, is it possible? Duratyaya. Just as it is extremely difficult to walk through the sharpened razor's edge, similarly, Jnana Marga also is Durgam. And therefore, what will be our conclusion? We are waiting for some excuse or other not to be able to go, not to go over the Jnana Marga. Because Jnana Marga is difficult, we will avoid that. Why not? Then there are people waiting outside with the Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Kundalini Yoga, simplified Kundalini Yoga. All people are waiting there. So many people are waiting and they will say, what? Because Jnana Marga is difficult, you may skip and approach other Margas. All these Margas are available for you. For which our answer is what? Know very clearly, Jnana Marga cannot be avoided because Jnanat Eva Kaivalyam. There are no other paths for liberation. Na Anya Pantaha Ayanaya Vidyate. And so you cannot skip Jnana Marga. Then what are we supposed to do? You say Jnana Marga is very difficult and Jnana Marga cannot be skipped also. Then what are we supposed to do? Our answer is what? Make Jnana Marga easy to tread. Your job is not to skip it, but make it easy. Then what will be the next question? How to make Jnana Marga easy? That will be our next question. We have an answer for that. Jnana Marga can be made easier by preparing one's personality. So prepare yourself. Thus, anything is difficult for the unprepared mind. This is our slogan, always, you know, very important. Anything is difficult for the unprepared mind and anything is easy for the prepared mind. So if someone asks, Jnana Marga is difficult or easy, what will be our answer? We won't answer. We will ask a counter question, for whom? For whom is it difficult? For whom it is easy? And our answer will be, it is difficult for the unprepared and it is easy for the prepared mind. And if it is difficult for you, that means you are unprepared. So prepare yourself. Make Jnana Yoga easy. Follow it and become free. And what is the preparation? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. Viveka Vairagya Shamadhi Shakta Sampatti Mumukshutvam. All those. Again and again, Tattvabodha only we have come to. So, how to get Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti? Through Karma Yoga and Upasana. All these things should be all clear to us by now, because we have used it several times in Tattvabodha and other places. And now, what is the entire range of sadhana? If you really follow, follow Karma Yoga, follow Upasana, prepare yourself. Thus, make Jnana Marga easy. Then follow Jnana Yoga and then become free. Like the old people, you know, who have lost their teeth. But still there is a desire to eat all these, you know, hard, savory, smurukku and all that thing. So even if they have false teeth, they are so hard they cannot eat, the teeth will break only perhaps. So what they do? They make it to a powder or put them in some buttermilk or water and make it soft. Then the desire will not go. Age only is 96. But still the desire not to eat these things will not go that easily. So prepare the murukku and then drink murukku and shidai by immersing it in something or trying to make it into powder and take it like that. So prepare, put yourself in buttermilk called Karma Yoga and Upasana. Therefore, Kshurasya Dhara Nishita Duratyaya Iva. Iva means you have to supply here. Like the razor which is sharp, like that razor Iva. So Jnana Yoga is difficult for the unprepared mind. Therefore, prepare yourself before we approach Jnana Yoga and then it will be easy to tread. So we'll stop here. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.